She is the head women's basketball coach at UCLA, where she has guided her team to consecutive trips to the NCAA Final Four after Sunday's win against the Duke Blue Devils. Please welcome back to the show, the wonderful Coach Corey Close is here with yours truly. Coach, how are you? How's everything?
It is great to be with you today. Thanks for having me.
Always, first of all, it's my pleasure and congratulations to you. Well deserved. How would you say you did it? You're going back to your Final Four. Coming into the season, what the expectations were, how did you end up back in the Final Four this season in your estimation?
Really, there's two simple words that are easy to say and really hard to live out on a daily basis. This was a completely selfless team that truly desired the outcomes for the team more than themselves, and they trusted the process of that. And then secondly, work ethic. For our players just felt like they showed up every day and outworked their opponents. And we had a phrase ever since last July that March is happening now. It wasn't going to happen later, you know, in terms of the habits. It was how we were going to just put our nose to the grindstone and just get after it. So I've never been a part of a team that had better consistent work ethic and more dramatic selflessness.
Coach, put into perspective what it's like when you lose in the Final Four. Losing last year, what was that like for you personally, for your team, and how did that prepare you guys for this for the season that you just had?
Well, last year was is really painful, you know, and I think that sometimes the pain of regret can be a powerful teacher if you're willing to use it the right way. I remember, you know, my good friend Tony Bennett, he said, you know, adversity, if handled correctly, can buy you a ticket to a place you might not otherwise been able to go. And, you know, it's hard to handle adversity well. It's easy to fall into blame. It's easy to fall into excuses. It's easy to armor up and protect yourself. It's a lot harder to go, man, what did this experience teach my heart? For me as a leader first, for our team individually and collectively, but that's exactly what they had the courage to do. And I think it allowed that last year's painful loss in the Final Four to be a really effective teacher.
Is this team better this year than it was last year?
I don't know if better or worse, but I think it's a more complete team. It's one of those things that, you know, you're trying to put together a puzzle that really fits together. And I think the complementary pieces, they make each other better. And I think that's the ultimate sign of a good team. It's not a collective individual sum of parts. It's a truly committed puzzle that is interdependent and needs each other to be better. But, you know, statistically speaking, and I think just consistently, this team has shown a better and more consistent productivity over time.
We're talking to the wonderful Coach Corey Close from UCLA right here with Stephen A. Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. I'm looking at it last year. I remember last year. I said they got some talent, but, you know, well, what they've got to go against, I was looking at the perimeter shooting, and I said, that leaves something to be desired. And then you come into this season, and I see Walk on the squad. I see Kanipkins on the squad. And I'm like, well, they got perimeter shooting now. And I think that when we look and the rave is about UConn, and deservedly so, they've won 54 straight. They're the reigning national champions. But when people talk about who could potentially knock them off, they've mentioned Texas, they've mentioned South Carolina. I have said UCLA because of the perimeter shooting that you got, complimenting the wonderful Lauren Betts. How good do you believe your team is from the perimeter? And do you think that was the missing ingredients towards y'all winning the national championship last year, but could ultimately propel you this year?
Well, it's funny that you say that, Stephen A., because we sure didn't shoot it very well the last two games, but actually nobody shot it very well across the country in those first two regional games, the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight games. But I think the threat of that, it just changes the spacing of the game. It changes how you choose to double or not. But, you know, I do think it has been a huge difference from last year to this year, the court spacing on offense. But the difference between the first half and the second half of yesterday's game was not the shooting. It was the defense. And even when we played Texas in our lone loss earlier this year, the difference wasn't our shooting, wasn't our scoring. It was our defense. And so as we go into the Final Four, it's our ability to get stops, which enables us to play on offense the way we need to play. And it's a lot harder to score when you got to take it out of the net all the time. So I think that's really what is I've been taught in this tournament is that you cannot rely on your shooting night in and night out. That can't be your anchor. We have got to be really, really good and on the defensive end and rebounding end so that we can play offense the way we want.
When we see a team like UConn led by the great Gino Auriemma, we look at them and we look and some people look at them as invincible. I would imagine that is not the attitude the opposition is supposed to have, which would obviously be you and other teams. What is it like when you see a team having the kind of success that they've had this year, being undefeated, winners of 54 straight, reigning defending national champions? What is it like knowing that the specter of you ultimately capturing a championship is going to be that you gotta go through them? Could you give us some insight as to what an opposing team and opposing coach thinks about when you have that
Yeah, I've
kind
got
of
a lot of
juggernaut that
practice
you're
at
going
this
against?
actually.
Okay. How?
Yeah, I've had a lot of practice at that, and
Yes.
because I've played against him so many darn times in the NCAA tournament. But I think that I think you really have to trust your own work. I have a phrase in our program that you never outperform your own self-image. And the reality is UConn knows that they deserve their due. They've been incredible. They have been the best college basketball team, men or women, since John Wooden's teams at UCLA. They are phenomenal. They've done an excellent job. That being said, I really believe in our process. I believe in our team and our commitment. And I think there was a combination of a lot of things last year when we met them in the semifinals. We had never been to a Final Four before. We had not had those experiences that really allow you to be prepared for the moments, the bright lights, the distractions. And I think that this year we're more equipped to go, hey, this is just a tactical game between five players or 10 players collectively, I guess, on their team and 10 players on our team. And five at a time, we're just trying to win our individual battles. And so I think you can't let it be what the UConn teams have done in the past. And quite frankly, I think Texas is probably playing the best. They still have to they're going against Michigan tonight in their regional final, but everybody is playing so well. And it doesn't matter who you are, you got to be playing your best basketball to win a national championship in March. And that's what we're going to be trying to do is just be playing our best version of ourselves.
Coach, allow me to get a little bit personal with you here for a second here. This is your 15th season at UCLA. You've won 71% of your games. For those that are listening right now that may not know, over the last 2 years, you're 69-4. You've won 95% of your games. You're 34-2 in conference play. This is your second straight trip to the Final Four. You've got two straight Big Ten titles. You got a Coach of the Year honor, not just in the conference, but the National Coach of the Year last year. What is it like to be you at this particular moment in time in your coaching career to compare to what it was years ago? Can you hear me, Coach?
Yeah, I got you now. Sorry, I've got
Okay,
a little
sure.
internet glitch here.
It's okay. Go ahead.
I think the biggest thing for me is that the wins, the awards, they really they're fun, don't get me wrong. But the reality for me is that it's not why I coach. I coach to create an uncommon transformational experience for every young woman who goes through our program. I coach to Coach Wooden used to say, "You're not coaching people's jump shots, you're coaching people's hearts." But if you coach their hearts really well, usually their jump shots end up pretty good too. And I really reminded myself that everything else is gonna pass away. Everything else is gonna be short-lived. And obviously, I'm very, very competitive, and I want to master my craft, and I want to compete at the highest levels. But the most important thing of my journey is how I affect people's lives. And so I will always pursue banners and rings to the extent that those are a byproduct of our process and our excellence. But I never want that. I want it to be more important of helping them become who they want to become and impacting who they want to impact.
And having said that, you would seem to be long for this, be doing this for years and years and years to come. But recently you made headlines because you talked about the exhaustive nature of the modern collegiate sports environment, the NILs, the transfer portals, and all of these headaches. And we've seen some of the great ones walk away because it's just so much of a headache. But that's not the impression that I get from listening to you. I see somebody that looks like she's planning on being around for a while. So talk to me about that and where your head is at when it comes to that.
Well, right now, my head is fully just, hey, how do we get our team to compete at the highest levels this weekend? And, you know, I think that that's, you know, the most important thing right now. I do think in a global scale, I think we just need to think about how our game is structured. That's all. I have choices to make. Nobody's forcing me to do this job. I am privileged and honored to have been coaching for 33 years. But I do think there's some ways in which we can tweak some things and restructure some things and be strategic about some areas of our game that maybe hopefully would help coaches not have to make that decision a lot. You know, if I had a family, I probably would have had to make that choice. The reality for me is these young women that I have a chance to coach are really my family. And so I've been able to stay in it longer because somebody else isn't paying the price for me being completely engulfed in this. I'm not afraid of hard work. That's been how I've built my career. I'm not afraid of getting after it. But I also want to be able to stay principled centered. I want to stay mission minded in how I go about this craft. And that's the part that gets really hard, is that people don't get burnt out because they're working too hard. They get burnt out because they've lost track of their why. And if I can't execute on my mission and my why, that's when it's time for me to get out. And it's not a matter of hours in the days. It's making sure that I'm living in my purpose.
You know, it's interesting that you bring that up. You're absolutely right. Very profound words from Coach Close right here with Stephen A., SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. You know, recently we saw the president convene a panel, you know, a discussion amongst college coaches and everybody on Capitol Hill and stuff like that. And there's obviously some more people that should have been there, and they should have given a lengthier period of time to the discussion that they were having. Nevertheless, some people believe that it was great that government was highlighting this as being an issue and prioritizing trying to resolve it so college sports could be what it's supposed to be. Where are you on all of that? Did you like that? Do you like government getting involved? Do you believe that collective bargaining should be a part of college sports moving into the future so we can alleviate some of these concerns that you've articulated along with other coaches? Where's your head at when it comes to that kind of stuff?
Well, I really liked the concept of what they did at the White House in terms of getting some real input into from previous coaches, from government officials, from all of those things. To be really honest, I would have loved there to be some more representation of women's coaches in that room, sure. You know, to be able to see I saw a stat today that the exposure and the viewership over the last 5 years in women's basketball is up 300%, 300%. I think that, you know, I think the business of women's sports is different now. And I think that it would have been healthy to have some more representation of women and how they can contribute to the infrastructure in that space. But I actually think we do need some federal government help if we could, because of the different state laws. If you have a different law of NIL in every state, if you've got different things that are allowed in every state, there's just going to be no competitive equity. Whether that's, you know, I know there's been a real debate on if we go collective bargaining, does that make them employees and how does that change the landscape? And I don't have all those answers, but I do think we need strategic infrastructure. And we are a semi-professional sporting organization now in college athletics, especially for men's and women's basketball and football. That is our reality. It doesn't matter if you like it or not. That's the reality in which we're in. And so I don't think you've seen any other healthy sports, professional sports organization that doesn't have good infrastructure, that doesn't have representation, whether that's a CBA, whether or not that's, you know, collective bargaining and many other things that need to go into this. But I do think there has to be a strategic infrastructure that has competitive equity across states that has boundaries in which, what we can pay. There needs to be transparency. Right now, just everybody's lying all the time because there's no transparency. You don't have to tell the truth or tell anyone else what your salary cap is or what you're actually offering a player, which when revenue share came into play, they promised us there was going to be transparency, and that has not taken place. And so it's just really hard, to navigate a landscape where the rules are always changing and when there's no transparency or truth.
If I told you, Coach Close, that because of your success, because of how, intelligent, articulate, and passionate you are about a multitude of issues, that your presence will have a profound effect on the change coming down the pike for the benefit of college sports, obviously men and women, does that make Coach Close want to stay around longer for years to come?
Well, I want to be a part of, leaving things better than I found it, right? And we're in an incredible growth change in women's sports specifically. And so if I could be a small part in helping with the landscape of growth, and there's always when you have growth and when you have significant change in the infrastructure of your sport, it's going to require pivoting. It's going to require collaboration. It's going to require people taking off their institutional hats and going, okay, what does the game need? And if I could be a small part of contributing in that way, it would be an honor to do so. But I just, it has to be about affecting people through sports. Because at the end of the day, I always tease that at the end of the day, it's an orange thing going in an orange thing. It's not, we're not finding world peace here. The real significance of college sports is what we're able to do for our universities. Coach, you would know, used to always also say, make sure it's not just good for you or even good for the university. Make sure your program is good for the baker, the banker, and the community you have the privilege to serve. And I always just think about this. There's so many things that are important. Like, why originally did people say you should get a college scholarship for playing sports? Well, it's because it affects people's lives. It's because it raises up new leaders. It's because it makes a difference in our society and our culture, in the way that we have adopted sports. And so, I just think that if I could be a part of maintaining that, it's okay to have it be a business. I get that's part of life, but it doesn't have to be at the expense of building leaders' character and really making a difference in the communities around us.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Before I let you get on out of here, Coach Close, what do you need to do? If there's one thing that you've got to pinpoint, what do you need to do in order to win the national championship this year for UCLA?
I'm not going to go to one thing, but I'm just going to say we have to shut out all distractions, and we have to not be in the movement of the Final Four. We have to be in the moment of that possession, in the moment of the preparation. We have to play incredible defense, and we have to just play with unbridled aggression.
Coach Close, it's always an honor and a privilege to talk to you. Thank you so much for inviting me to your game earlier this year. I had an absolute blast. Thank you for being a guest on my show yet again. I always learn something new when I'm listening to you, and know that I'm rooting for you. I wish you nothing but the best, and I will be watching. You take care of yourself, okay?
Thank you so much, Stephen A. You've been tremendous and you've been a man of your word, and I respect that greatly. Thank you.
Thank you so much. You take care of yourself. All the best to you. The one and only Coach Close for the UCLA Bruins, right here with Stephen A. SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. They 35-1, y'all. They got a shot. UConn's no joke, but neither is UCLA. And Lauren Betts is the real deal. Make no mistake about it. Perimeter shooting surrounds her. They can make some noise. They can win this thing.